The Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Let's think on that just for a second. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So without it, I'm not able to do things, say things, think things that are ultimately pleasing the Lord. And my objective as a believer, your objective, our objective as Christians is to be well-pleasing to the Lord. That's our objective. We are here, the Bible says, for His good pleasure. So if we're here for His good pleasure, my objective is to be well-pleasing. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so we want to do those things, say those things, think those things, live out our faith, because without it, it would be impossible to please God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. You know, it's that belief on things yet unseen as if they were now. It's just, if you can see it already happening in advance, then it's not faith. So those are things to contemplate. If you can see it in advance, it's not faith. Jesus has spent 21 verses of chapter 8 discussing a teaching about faith. And he's kind of talking about the word. We picked it all this up from even when he was dealing with the centurion. And the centurion, hey, just give the word. And we learned about this whole concept of the word going out from Jesus. And that it accomplishes the purposes for which he sent it. He is the living word. We saw this, how it played out with the seed of is the word of God that's sown out there. So that's what we're to throw out to other people, is the word of God, the seed of the word of God. And he's telling us here in that parable that, hey, 25% is going to kind of come around, and it's going to go into the ground, and it's going to spring forth. Of the four people that you talk to, one person, he says, is going to respond favorably. The other three will probably be like he spoke, but one is going to respond favorably out of the four. And then he says, out of that, there is going to be at the least 30-fold of fruitfulness. Now, out of one seed, normally, it's 8-to-1 is the ratio. One seed, thing comes up, it's got, you know, the kernels on the average, it's 8-to-1 is the ratio with seed. This is what, a few times that he's saying is the least of fruitfulness. Of the 25%, they're going to be at the least 30-fold fruitful. You start seeing the odd mathematics of the kingdom and the word of God and the fruitfulness of the word and God's faithfulness to his word. And so that's what we want to trust in. We want to trust in God's word, and we want to take it into our hearts, and we want to apply it. So Jesus finishes up in verse 21. As there was this response, hey, your mom's here, your brother's here, and they're waiting outside. They want you to come out and talk to them. And Jesus answers and says to them in verse 21, my mother and my brothers are these who hear my real family, the real family is those who hear the word and do it. So now he's describing something that he's leading into. Jesus always first gives the instruction to us. He gave us the instruction about the word being spoken to us and that we can trust him at his word by faith, that he's going to do the work that he said. Now think about this. Go back just a second with me to this sowing the seed. Just sowing the seed out there, throwing the seed of the word of God out. And he's saying, now go through the Bible, just real quick versions of things that you remember of. Whenever he's talked about this farming stuff, he's always talked about, and whenever Paul the Apostle talked about the farming things, whenever any of these things, they got it because they were an agricultural society. They were sowing with expectation. Think with me with this. When you're talking with someone about the person of Jesus Christ, are you sowing that seed with expectation? Believing that God is not going to, his word's not going to return void. He is going to do something with that. I don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what's going to happen. The results aren't up to us. But by faith, Are we in our mind, is my mind set on the fact that God's going to do something with that word that was sown out there into somebody's life? Expectation. You know, I would challenge you again with this thought, because I think oftentimes we are very timid, and I think we're almost apologetic. Think back for yourself, just, you know, I think we're timid and somewhat apologetic when we start talking with people about God. Well, you know, God's working, you know, it's working out pretty good for me. And, you know, we're just tell them what Jesus has done for you. Tell them the good things that God's doing in your life. Just be straight about it. If you love the Lord, tell them that you love the Lord. There's no need to be ashamed of it. God's going to honor that. There's no, what? You've got to be kidding. We have nothing to be ashamed of. And our world is trying to push you down and push you down and push me down and shove us back into, push us back into the corner and get us out of the way because we just interfere with things in their mindset. We interfere with the progress. Oh, so honesty, integrity, those kind of things, maybe in the banking industry and so on, maybe it'd be a good idea, huh? They want that from you, right? They want that from you. Well, you who believe that are now in the way a little bit, though, you see. Because now we would kind of expect that maybe of them. I can't say it. It's backwards. Some of you have been around here a while know what that means. Jesus first taught about these things. He taught about faith. And just like when any other situation, you know, you show someone on a job site how to use the tool. You show them how to work that piece of equipment. Eventually, you got to let them use the piece of equipment. You got to let them try it out. Faith is to be exercised. Faith is to be exercised. Jesus now says, hey, let's test drive this. In other words, he's going to test you. He's going to test me on the things that we're learning. Now, in being tested, in the Lord testing us, he never gives you an F, so you don't have to be fearful of that. Oftentimes, it's a do-over. At least that's been my experience. Maybe you'll have much greater success than me. But oftentimes, there's a do-over involved. Take the test again. But that's okay. He is faithful, and he allows us to take the test again. But he never gives you an F. No failure marks. Hear the word, and then do it. Heed it. Now, in verse 22, it happened on a certain day that he got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side of the lake." And they launched out. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water, and they were in jeopardy. And they came to Jesus and awoke Jesus, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." Then he arose, and he rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. But he said to them, "Where is your faith?" And they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, "Who can this be? For he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." This is kind of a shorter version of something we've read in Matthew and other parts of the scriptures, you know, regarding this story. But though condensed, it has some powerful impact for us. One of the things is Jesus doesn't seem to be troubled with the storm. The storm's not freaking him out at all. The boat's taking on a little water, you know. He's not freaked out about anything that has to do with the storm itself. That's not bothering him. He's not bothered with, you know, anything that's going on except one thing. There's only one thing that's bothering him. Only one thing. And that was the disciples' response to the situation. You know, that's a pretty strong thing if you think of Jesus looking at you or looking at me and saying, "Jim, Where's your faith? You know, that's a strong thing to hear from the Lord, I think. It's kind of a strong rebuke, basically. You know, where's your faith? Now, I don't think he wasn't angry with them, but I think he's kind of trying to, hey, listen, we just talked about all this. I just explained to you how this works. The seed gets sown, the seed, the word of God. How does faith grow? How does faith develop? Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word in our hearts, planted into our hearts, begins to develop and produces faith in our lives. The word of God, planted in the soil of our hearts, begins to develop and produces faith. You want, I want, we want more faith. We need to spend more time with the word. The word, not just head knowledge. It's going to be faith in practice. It's going to be hearing the word, receiving it into our hearts, taking the test, exercising it, exercising that challenge that comes to us regarding our faith. How can I be so sure of this? Jesus is upset because he says, where is your faith? What have you placed your faith in? Where is it? What happened to what I implanted into your hearts just when we were talking a little bit ago? And what happened to what I just said earlier? Verse 22, mid-verse, they got into the boat. He got in with his disciples. They got into the boat. Look at this, very important. And he, Jesus, said to them, and what did he say to them? This is the important part of this. What did he say to them? Let us cross over to the other side. God speaks things into our lives through his word. He plants that into our heart. And as we receive it into our hearts, it's going to, if we receive it, if it doesn't get plucked away and we get ripped off by Satan, if it doesn't just spring forth and, you know, kind of show for just a minute, but then, you know, challenge withers and dies off, if it doesn't get challenged by the things of this world, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and desire for other things, entering in, it chokes the word's unfruitful. If none of those things, but if the word's planted, I really receive it into my heart. It takes root in my life. I receive that. I believe on the Lord for that. Jesus is saying, what happened? We just explained all this. I said we were going to go to the other side. Why are you freaked out? What a great word for us. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And you start seeing where the tests and the challenge come in. Because we get freaked out pretty easy. I do. You know, things happen. I go, oh, gosh, okay, well, you know, go into response mode, you know. When the Lord's spoken, we're to take him at his word. We're to trust him. And we're to move forward by faith, trusting him at his word. That is the key. Where is your faith? That's the only thing that Jesus is really concerned about. That lack of faith in the disciples' lives. That they somehow missed this opportunity. Now the disciples get over and over and over again the test they get to take it. Over and over and over again. To learn how to develop and walk by faith. I would challenge you to think with me. Just think with me just for a moment to think through this. And when you watch the disciples as they walk up to the temple and they look over and they see the guy that's lame, been there that way since birth. Somebody comes, drops him off, he begs for alms. It's just regular business as usual. They've walked past him how many times? And they look at him. Silver and gold have we none. Empowered by the Holy Spirit. It's come upon them now. They're empowered by the Holy Spirit. Jesus, the cross has happened. Resurrection has happened. Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father, interceding on our behalf, their behalf. And just the disciples, the Holy Spirit has now come upon them at Pentecost. They're going back to the temple and they say, hey, silver and gold have we none, but such as we have, we give to you. Rise up and walk. The guy gets up. reached out his hand, helped him stand up. They've been taking this test over and over, over and over, over and over. You know, faith is something we have to exercise. Faith is something that doesn't always, and we're going to see this as we go through this morning. It's not, even though it's imperfect a little bit, God uses it. The disciples were being challenged, where is your faith? What happened? I just told you that we were going to go to the other side. God is wanting you to know, God's wanting me to trust Jesus. Just trust him at his word. If you're a believer this morning, do you really need to have any worry or concern about your eternal destination? See, we don't need to be concerned about that. If you're a believer, you don't need to be concerned about that. And as we walk this earth, the only thing we really need to be concerned with is really walking in the word and trusting the Lord. He gave them that word, and I would say it was a word in the right sense of the word. It was a word of faith. It was a word to them. Do this. This is what we're going to do. You don't need to be freaked out. You don't need to be. This was a kind of an interesting little side note on this regarding what were they gripped with? What was the group gripped with? They were gripped with fear, right? That was their grip with. They're in the boat. They're gripped with fear. We're taking on water. Wake up the master. Wake him up. You know, they're freaked out. They wake up Jesus. You know, man, look, it's like, don't you even care? We're perishing here. We're going down. How many of your prayers sound like that? Well, mine sound like that sometimes, but I don't know about you guys, but mine sound like that sometimes. You know, wake up the Lord. Let him know. Doesn't he know what's going on down here? Does he know what's happening? I'm having a rough time. You know, I'm overwhelmed. You know, my eyes are bugging out. You know the whole thing. I'm freaked out over here. Does Jesus not know? Does he not care? See, Jim, we talked about that last week, and you know, I told you everything was going to be fine. What are you all freaked out about? Well, I don't know. Fear gets in. The fear of man brings a snare, right? The fear of what people think. The fear of how this is going to play out. Fear, 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 fear. You know? Now, think with me on this. This was really powerful for me. Think with me on this. Most of the time when fear sets in, you and I have a tendency as humans to perseverate, to contemplate, to mull on, to think about, to dwell on. And we are initially and ultimately feeding that fear. We're feeding it. We're feeding it with our thoughts. We're feeding it with more fear thoughts. We're feeding it with every what-if scenario we could ever come up with. You know, I know job situations are difficult sometimes and stuff, but if you just pray and you know it's in God's hands, and if you just move forward and just say, well, God, this is in your hands. I don't exactly know how this is going to play out. I'm just going to do my best and commit the rest unto you, and I just trust you with it, and I'm just going to try and have a great day today. You start living that way, man, you'll find your days are full of a lot more joy. You're not so obsessed with all of the negativity that's out there that's permeating through our media and everything else, and it gets into our heads, and it's just feeding fear. That's all it does. What are we to do? Faith and fear are mutually exclusive. They can't live in the same house. Faith and fear can't live in the same house. They don't get along. They do not get along. They do not get along. Walk into a dark room, you flick on, it's nighttime, you flick on the switch, and what happens? Unless your power's out, what happens? The light comes on. Where's the darkness go? I don't know. It dissipates. It's just not there. Well, that's faith. Faith, it's light and darkness. They don't dwell in the same place. It's either light or it's dark. Faith conquers fear. So, now, think with me on this just for a minute. Stay with me. This is going to help. Because fear is real. It's an emotion. It's part of our makeup. God's designed that. You know, that's good. That thing that's slithering around on the ground, it's got a rattle on it, it's making noise, best not stick my hand down and pick it up. Just, you know, fear's in me. I'm not going to grab the rattlesnake. You know, why? Well, because it's toxic and it could kill me. That makes good sense to me. Now, that's healthy fear. I respect that critter. So, The idea here, though, is sometimes we start to feed that, and it really becomes phobic, don't you think? You know, we get this thing, and all of a sudden, when the whole thing plays out, whatever your scenario is, the whole thing plays out, and you realize, well, that was pretty bad, but gosh, it wasn't even fractionally what I developed in my brain, you know? I mean, it was a big mess, it was a big nightmare, but it wasn't near the scenario that I had developed, you know? Does this happen to anybody else? You know, you get this thing going, and it's just bigger than life. One of the things that's interesting about this is really what we ultimately should do is the absolute reverse of what we do. We end up feeding the fear. The fear gets bigger. We get kind of, fear is an immobilizing thing. It immobilizes us. We just kind of freeze up. We just freeze up. And what God's whole heart for us is to starve the fear. Because most of the time we feed the fear and starve our faith. Flip it over. I'm so worried I can barely even pray. I'm so worried I can't even read my Bible. I'm so overwhelmed with my circumstances, I can't even keep my thoughts straight about what's happening. Fear is immobilizing. Starve the fear and feed your faith. That is the best word I've heard in a long time. Starve the fear and feed the faith. In other words, choose to turn on the light. Instead of groppling around in the darkness, choose it. Thy word is a light unto my path. Think about that. It lights up the path, lights up my feet. I can see where I'm walking. And I can see the path ahead of me a little ways. You know, maybe not 100 miles, but I can see where I'm going so I don't trip over that next rock, and I can see where I'm stepping. The word illuminates. Again, how do I feed it? How do I feed my faith, which then conquers my fear? How do I go about that? Turn on the switch. Exactly what you're doing this morning, sitting right here, going through the Word of God. Read the word, soak up the word, apply the word. Faith is built up. Faith is developed by. Faith happens as we spend time in the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I assure you, it's great to watch the miraculous take place. It's an exciting thing. I'm not going to deny that. That's awesome. But man, nothing builds up your faith like hearing from the Lord, letting it go in good soil in your heart, trusting Him in His Word, continuing to build yourself on the Word, and then watching it play out. That builds up and strengthens the spiritual person within us as we journey with the Lord. Our faith is built up as we spend time in the Word of God. It's not built up in all this other stuff that we get sidetracked on oftentimes as Christians. We get obsessed with the things going on in our world. I think awareness is wise. I'm all for it. But I'm not suggesting that we need to get all freaked out on, you know, H1N1, you know? Alias. I won't say it because I don't want to hurt the pig farmers and everybody else. I enjoyed my Canadian bacon this morning, and I don't want to offend anyone or cause the prices to go up or down. I just want it to stay the way it is. But you get the idea here. Man, what? Think about it just so simply in your heart and your life. What do you spend time feeding on in your mind? What do you spend time thinking on or dwelling on? Man, starve out. Don't keep feeding it and giving life to it. Just starve it out. You'll find great benefit in your journey with the Lord. We are going to partake of communion right here in just a moment. I have fully prepared all the way from verse 23 through 56, but we are going to pick the rest of this up in our next message next week, and this is going to be a continued thing. I don't know, for you, maybe it's different, but for me, this is a lot to think on. Because I dare say, probably a lot of us are gripped with various fears. I think it's just real. It's who we are. And you say, well, you know, I know I shouldn't be in everything. Well, Joshua shouldn't have been either, right? You know? Joshua shouldn't have been either. But what is the Word of God keep, what does God keep speaking to Joshua as you start reading through it? Fear not. Fear not. For I am with you. Fear not, for I am with you. Fear not, for I am. Well, why would you keep saying that unless the guy was a little bit feared out? You know? Right? So, it's you're in good company. Paul told Timothy, you know, God isn't giving you a spirit of fear and timidity. Why'd he say that? But of power and love and of a sound mind. Well, why'd he say that? Well, maybe because Timothy struggled with fear and timidity, you know? I mean, you gotta think through the situations a little bit. What do you spend a lot of your time contemplating? How does your faith develop? You know, this is how it develops as we get together and we spend time in God's Word. And we're going to, there are actually three more specific stories, two in one, and then one on its own, but specific stories regarding our experience as believers. One's with demonic forces, and then the other has to do with physical wellness and healing and so on. And we're gonna, there's great things in that, but I am not going to not cover it thoroughly because it's really worth discussing. I don't want to rush through it. Brothers and sisters, I do not know how many of you I have probably prayed with who've been gripped with the fear of some kind of circumstance that you might be facing. I don't know how many times in a council situation that at the core of that, there is the fear of something that is associated with a situation. This is stuff that will help you the rest of your life, no matter where you live on this planet. This is how Don and Marta get through each day in Nigeria. This is how Harold gets through every morning when he has beans, the same beans that he had last night and the same beans he had for lunch earlier the other day, you know? And if he's really, things are going really well, there's a corn tortilla mixed in with it, you know? But this is, you know, and he's living up there in the mountains and he said it's so hard, it's like I'm a little baby, you know? I just want to sit down and he goes, I actually know why babies cry now. They can't express themselves. They can't say all they want to say. He goes, I actually get it. You know, because you just see that sometimes I just sit down and I just weep because I don't know how to. This is a year and a half later, he's telling me this, you know? And I get it. But this is how he gets through every day. This is how we get through every day, by faith, trusting God to do the work. Man, love is surely perfected in faith, surely. Look at what we believe on, the cross of Jesus Christ. Not one of us was there, and yet every one of us was there. Your sin, my sin, was on that cross, nailed to it publicly as a display. And Jesus, the righteous one, bore my shame. For the things that you know nothing about me, and the things I know nothing about you, and I don't want to. I have enough trouble dealing with me. But Jesus knows, and Jesus loves with a perfect love. And that's what we celebrate. As we come to the Lord's table now, that's what we celebrate. We are broken people. Surely, we are broken people. But that's where we're supposed to be. Because Jesus puts us together the way we're supposed to be assembled, the right way. He's got a perfect plan for your life and for my life.